Don't flirt with things that would draw you away. He is risen. And everybody said, He is risen indeed. This is Resurrection Sunday, the most important and my favorite day of the year. This is the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible, and I'm coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the Bible in a year, and I'm so happy you've invited me into your day. In addition to being Resurrection Sunday, it's also Epistle Sunday, which means we're going to read Colossians 1 and 2. I'm calling this episode Stand Fast. In addition to our reading and my commentary, we'll talk about the first Resurrection Sunday and we'll have a time of praises and prayer requests. Something happened today that I'll be praying about pretty much around the clock for the foreseeable future. Before we get started, let's ask God's blessing on our time together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus' resurrection, without which we would have no hope. And we thank You for Your Word. We ask You to bless our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, are you ready? Let's get started. Colossians chapter 1. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Your faith and love have arisen from the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you have heard about in the message of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as in the entire world this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, so it has also been bearing fruit and growing among you from the first day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. You learned the gospel from Epaphras, our dear fellow slave, a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard about you, have not ceased praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may live worthily of the Lord and please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good deed, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the display of all patience and steadfastness, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for all things in heaven and on earth were created by Him. All things, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and all things are held together in Him. He is the head of the body, the church, as well as the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that He Himself may become first in all things. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in the Son, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself by making peace through the blood of the cross through Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And you were at one time strangers and enemies in your minds as expressed through your evil deeds. But now He has reconciled you by His physical body through death to present you holy, without blemish, and blameless before Him, if indeed you remain in the faith, established and firm, without shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. This gospel has been preached in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become its servant. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I fill up in my physical body, for the sake of His body, the church, what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. I became a servant of the church according to the stewardship from God, given to me for you, in order to complete the word of God, that is, the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages and generations, but has now been revealed to His saints. God wanted to make known to them the precious riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him by instructing and teaching all people with all wisdom, so that we may present every person mature in Christ. Toward this goal I also labor, struggling according to His power that powerfully works in me. Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for those who have not met me face to face. My goal is that their hearts, having been knit together in love, may be encouraged, and that they may have all the riches that assurance brings in their understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will deceive you through arguments that sound reasonable. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and firm in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Be careful not to allow anyone to captivate you through an empty, deceitful philosophy that is according to human traditions and the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been filled in Him who is the head over every ruler and authority. In Him you also were circumcised, not, however, with a circumcision performed by human hands, but by the removal of the fleshly body, that is, through the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, you also have been raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. And even though you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He nevertheless made you alive with Him, having forgiven all your transgressions. He has destroyed what was against us, a certificate of indebtedness expressed in decrees opposed to us. He has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Disarming the rulers and authorities, He has made a public disgrace of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you with respect to food or drink, or in the matter of a feast, new moon, or Sabbath days. These are only the shadow of the things to come, but the reality is Christ. Let no one who delights in humility and the worship of angels pass judgment on you. That person goes on at great lengths about what he has supposedly seen, but he is puffed up with empty notions by his fleshly mind. He has not held fast to the head from whom the whole body, supported and knit together through its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elemental spirits of the world, why do you submit to them as though you lived in the world? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, founded as they are on human commands and teachings. Even though they have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship and false humility achieved by an unsparing treatment of the body, a wisdom with no true value, they in reality result in fleshly indulgence. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to encourage the Colossian church to stand fast in their faith, to not succumb to the seductions of the enemy by way of false teachings. In chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and firm in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So what he's doing here is telling them to stay close to Jesus. Make Him the most important part of your life. If you do that, nothing can come between you and Him. I liken this to my relationship with the lovely Lady Leanne. We've been married for over 32 years, and our marriage is rock solid. Never once in our married life have I wished that I was not married to her. Never once has any other woman been a temptation to me. And our marriage is stronger today than the day we took our vows. Why? How have we been able to survive when so many other marriages fail? It's not that hard. As a matter of fact, it's almost simple. Here's our secret. Every single day of our marriage, each of us has reconfirmed our commitment to one another both verbally and in hundreds or actually thousands of large and small actions. Every day we say, "I love you," with words and deeds. We are completely dedicated to making our marriage as good as it can be. Sure, problems arise from time to time, but never once has either of us allowed the thought of calling it quits. When you have that kind of commitment, there is really no danger of being seduced into compromising circumstances. That's the kind of commitment Paul says we should have with our relationship with Jesus. If we're dedicated to staying close to Him, if we're firm in our love for Him, the seductions of false teachings will have no effect on us. And the way we live that out, the method to make that a reality in our lives is to not only make daily Bible reading part of who we are, but also to keep a steady flow of conversation going with Him. Pray without ceasing, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Don't flirt with things that would draw you away. We are, after all, the bride of Christ. There is no room for compromise. If you truly love Him, this is not a hard thing to do. I truly love my wife, so it's not a hard thing to stay close to her. It's the same with our relationship with Jesus. It's not hard to stay close if you dedicate yourself to continually cultivating the relationship. It's a daily decision, and the longer you stay with it, the easier it is to do. Do you have a question? Do you have a comment? Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or send your comment via Boostagram. You can even go to comment.lifespringmedia.com and comment there. Tomorrow will be the Law Monday, and our reading will be Leviticus 13 through 15.
Boostagram!
Sister Denise sent a 5,000 sat loaves and fishes boostagram and said, just a few sats to hopefully get the show back into the top 10. And she sent a smiley emoji with it. Well, yay. Thank you, Sister Denise. Come on, people. Let's see more of these. God bless you, Sister Denise.
LifeSpringMedia.com/support.
It's Resurrection Sunday. This is the day we celebrate Jesus returning from the dead, fulfilling His promise to come back on the third day. He was crucified on Friday, day one, and He was resurrected on Sunday, the third day. This proved that He is indeed God. And of course, each of the four Gospels tells us about that first Resurrection Sunday in some detail, but my favorite passage is in John 20, verses 11 through 19. Let me share it with you now. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Oh my goodness, I get emotional every time I read the part where Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. We don't know why Mary didn't recognize him, but I have an idea that it was because her eyes were filled with tears, thinking that his body had been stolen. But when she heard Jesus speak her name, she knew immediately it was him. I think it was because of the way he said it. I think Jesus had a special way of saying her name that she recognized. Maybe he said it in a playful way. Mary! Maybe he said it as a teacher would when trying to get a student's attention. Mary? But I tend to think he said it with such love that she knew it could only be him. Mary. Can you imagine hearing Jesus speak your name like this? Oh, beloved, one day each of us who call him Lord will hear Jesus speak our name with this kind of love. How marvelous that will be. A couple of days ago, on Good Friday, I read a portion of one of S.M. Lockridge's greatest sermons. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Today, I have a recording of another one of his great sermons, and this one is called That's My King. This is the voice of S.M. Lockridge.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah. Yeah, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forever, then amen.
Yes, that's my king. Hallelujah. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I do. Praises and prayer requests. I have a praise and a prayer request today. First, the praise. I've told you about Cassie, Brian Duncan's wife, who has a very, very painful nerve condition on the side of her face. I told you that there's a possible surgical solution, but that it was very expensive, and the insurance they have wouldn't pay for it. It's a long story, but we've prayed that the Lord would heal her or provide a way for her to have the surgery. Well, Brian told me earlier this week that they found a doctor at USC who will look at her case, and the insurance company has told Brian that they could use this doctor even though he's outside of their plan. So praise the Lord for that. But we also need to pray that the doctor will actually see Cassie. And then, every 2 weeks or so, my good friend Ron Plouffe and I have a video call scheduled on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Ron and I have been friends since about 2005. He started his very entertaining storytelling podcast in 2005, which is how we met. It's called Griddle Cakes Radio, and I highly recommend you give it a listen. Start with the first episode, so scroll back to the beginning. So anyway, Ron and I prioritize this time to sort of catch up on what's happening in each other's lives. So if a phone call comes in, unless it's a spouse calling, we let the call go to voicemail. Well, I'm recording this on Saturday afternoon, and about 15 minutes into our call, my friend Dell tried to call. Yes, that Dell. Dell is the husband of Kathy, who we have been praying for here on the show since last season. She's battling cancer and has for the last, probably 3 decades, and she has MS. I've known Dell and Kathy since we were teenagers. Dell invited me to his church, where I ultimately gave my heart to the Lord when we were teenagers. So to say the least, these two people are incredibly important to me, Dell and Kathy. But because Ron is also a close friend, I let Dell's call go to voicemail. But about 10 minutes later, he called back, which made me think that something must be wrong, so I took the call. And I could tell that things weren't quite right as soon as I heard Dell's voice. Now, I've told you that they live in the local mountains, not far from a place called Arrowhead Village, or Lake Arrowhead, where they were snowed in a couple of weeks ago. Remember that? They live on the side of a hill there in the mountains in a small 3-story house. I know, when you hear 3-story, it sounds big, but each level of the house is small. The house is downhill from their parking area, so when you park your car, you have to go down about, 12 to 15 stairs to get to the deck where their front door is. And it's a deck because the front door is on the top level of their house. It isn't at ground level. Remember, they're on the hillside. So the stairs you go down to get to the deck are about 12 to 15 feet above the hillside. Well, this morning, Dell was helping Kathy up those stairs because they had to go somewhere. He was helping her up the stairs because the MS has affected her ability to walk. So he's helping her climb the stairs, and they're both on one of the stairs
when one of the steps they were on collapsed under them. They both fell down the 12 to 15 feet to the hillside below. Now remember, they're the same age as I am, and I'm an old man, so imagine. Well, thankfully, the incline of the hill broke the impact of the fall somewhat, and there's still some snow on the ground, which also helped. Dell was okay, but Kathy was in a lot of pain, and she was crying. And unfortunately, both of their cell phones were in their car, so Dell had to crawl up the hillside to get to his phone to call 911. But there was no answer. So he tried to call several of their church friends with the same results. No answer. Then he got an incoming call from a number that he didn't recognize. When he answered, the caller asked Dell if he had just tried to call in an emergency. So this guy was somehow connected to the 911 service. And Dell explained what had happened, and the guy said that he would send an ambulance. And about 20 minutes later, they showed up. And with great difficulty, they were able to get Kathy up the hill and into the ambulance, and they drove Kathy to the local hospital, which is very small, and she was then airlifted to Loma Linda University Medical Center, a major teaching hospital here in Southern California. At the time, Dell told me that he thinks Kathy broke her leg, and as of right now, we don't know. As I'm recording this, this happened about 3.5 hours ago, and Dell texted me just a little while ago, and he said that they're waiting on CT scan results right now. I said, didn't they x-ray her leg? And he responded, it was a whole body CT scan, I think. And then I thought, well, that makes sense. The femur in, I believe it's her right leg, is all titanium now, so x-ray on that would not work. And with a whole body CT, they'd be able to see if there's anything else, you know, that's broken or if she has internal bleeding. But she did say that her pain was a 10 plus, even though they gave her Dilaudid. So that's all we know right now. I'm still waiting for Dell to send me the results of the CT scan, and that's where we're at. So how's that for a prayer request? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you first and foremost for what this day is all about, the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you for what was accomplished when he defeated death, and we will quite literally be eternally grateful, Lord. Father, we thank you for your plan to redeem us. Your grace and your mercy is so much more than we can even comprehend. Now, Father, we thank you for this doctor, and we pray that he will take Cassie's case. We thank you that the insurance company has agreed to let them go outside their network, and we pray that things will begin to move quickly so that Cassie can finally get relief after suffering for these 4 years. Ideally, Lord, we would ask you to heal her miraculously, but you also gave us doctors. We just ask for your will. We know that yours is the better way. And Father, as I record this, Kathy is at the hospital and waiting to get the results of that CT scan. She's in a lot of pain, and I pray that you would comfort her and ease her pain, which she has had so much of in her life. Lord, I ask you to be gracious to her. Once more, I ask you to heal her body. I must confess, Lord, I don't understand all of this, but we do trust you. Sometimes it takes more faith than others, and this is one of those times. But you have proven, time and time again, to be trustworthy. And we know, Lord, that you do not change, so you were trustworthy then. And you are trustworthy now. I pray that you would be with Kathy, be with Dell and their daughter Mindy, who is with them right now. Guide the care that the Loma Linda staff is giving to Kathy. Be glorified in this chapter of their lives, Lord, and we will lift your name. I thank you for the LifeSpring family, and I pray that you'll be with them. Where there are needs, I know that you know what they are, and I pray that your will would be accomplished in each one of our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, our next time of prayer together here on the show will be Wednesday, so if there's a praise we should know about or if there's something you'd like us to pray with you about, let me know. Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. If you'd like to remain anonymous, just let me know. Sister Brittany sent out the latest newsletter yesterday, so if you didn't get it, that means you're probably not subscribed. So go to news.lifespringmedia.com and get signed up. I promise never to spam you and never to share your information. news.lifespringmedia.com. Once again, today's show art is by Jason Pascal. Thank you, Jason. God bless you. And thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, and, of course, Sister Brittany, the team. Beloved, I'm so thankful that you invited me to be a part of your day today. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
Boost. 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 Get boosted.
Boost.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.